This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is jacket. Text jacket to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is jacket to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Tampa Bay Rays are doing some outside-the-box thinking when it comes to the deployment of their pitchers, and it might be the new style, the new fashion around baseball when all is said and done. Or it could just be something silly that we talk about in retrospect. Here to tell us about the what and why of it all is Neil Solons, who is the Rays radio pre- and post-game host. He's on Twitter, at Neil Solons. Neil, hello.
Good. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Wondering this about the Tampa Bay Rays as they get into the brand new world of bullpenning. Manager Kevin Cash, at least from the quotes I've read, it seems like he's kind of been the last guy to buy into this, or at least that the front office has been pushing this longer than Kevin Cash has been willing to do it. Is that the right sense of things? And if so, what's the thing that got Kevin Cash on the side of doing it?
I don't know if he was necessarily reluctant. I mean, as a guy who's played, I'm sure, you know, he's thinking, and I think the front office is thinking about the human side in different forms. They've actually done this as, you know, far away as 3 years ago. They had Steve Geltz, who was a reliever for the team, start a couple of games in National League ballparks, knowing that way the first time the DH came up, they could pinch hit for him and then throw in their regular starter and hopefully get two good innings and be in a better position. And then this year they've done it actually 3-4 times. The biggest difference with this was they used Sergio Romo, a regular reliever, and did it on back-to-back days. I think part of the reason that it made sense is because of the team they were playing and how they used their lineup. I mean, the Angels are almost all right-handed. The Rays, because of injuries, basically had lined up a couple of lefties scheduled to start. And I think their thinking was, well, do I want to bring in my lefty to start the game that would normally start, or do I want to have him not have to face Mike Trout and Justin Upton right off the bat, instead face near the bottom part of the order? So, I mean, from a logic standpoint, I think it was the right time to do something like this with a guy like Sergio Romo, who obviously embraced it. And that's part of this, too, that the players have to all be willing to buy in, and obviously they didn't.
We heard some grumbling. I was reading an article from The Athletic that was talking to Zach Cozar. This isn't good for the game. Basically saying because it annoyed him, it was therefore bad for baseball. I'm not certain that I buy that, but it's clear that maybe it has its intended effect. If it does, even for in the short term, if it upsets your opponent a little bit, like, oh, I don't know how to prepare for this, or if it takes them out of their element, that has some inherent value there, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, go back 6 years. In 2012, I think the Rays were facing the Yankees on the opening weekend or one of the opening weekends of the season. And Mark Teixeira said at the time that the Rays did so well in the series because they were lucky for shifting so much. Mm-hmm. Now let's fast forward 6 years later and see how many teams are shifting as much as they are. I mean, I kind of, and I wrote about it today on a blog, is that I kind of think it's about time that baseball is catching up to football and basketball in some ways. I mean, in football, we can use a cover two, cover three. We can use seven defensive backs, four defensive backs, blitz from any different angle. In basketball, we can use a 1-3-1, a zone trap. But if we want to change the way we use our pitchers, which is how you defend, it's sacrilege. Aren't you supposed to use your players the best way you think you know how with the kind of guys you have on your team against the opponent you're facing?
Neil Solons, the pre- and post-game host for Rays Radio here with us on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I wonder how much where do the Rays think they are in a competitive cycle? The AL East is it's a big boy division. The Red Sox and Yankees are very, very, very good. I just wonder where they think they are and how that kind of marries into doing this, to being outside the box.
Well, I mean, look, they were double digits behind the Yankees and the Red Sox last year. So for all the people who, from a local perspective, were kind of, there was some uproar when the Rays traded Evan Longoria and traded Stephen Souza Jr. and Corey Dickerson. And that team also had four straight losing seasons. You know, as close as they were to 500, they won 80 games last year. They still weren't quite there. And they also have this wave of young players that's coming through. They won the AAA National Championship last year. They're now considered a top five farm system in the game. So I think they wanted to bring some young players along. There were some injuries that kind of forced some other young players along. And I think they feel they're not that far away. I think they're probably, I mean, if you look at it, if let's say you consider the Yankees and Red Sox a fair distance ahead, and I think that's fair to do. But I also look at, you know, the Central Division, as you guys know, is not good. The West, with Seattle losing Robbie Cano for 81 games, I think that impacts them. And I think the Angels are beatable. So I wouldn't be shocked if they're competing for a second wild card this year, even while they're trying to rebuild and do things on the fly. I mean, I certainly think they're capable of ending up in the postseason this year, believe it or not.
Wow. Back to the outside the box thinking for a moment. I'm trying to think just off the top of my head where teams have said, this is how we're going to do this now. It was Nolan Ryan with the Rangers talking about a throwing program, talking about how much he wanted guys to throw because everybody should be Nolan Ryan. Of course, the lesson to be learned wasn't that he was some kind of physical unicorn, but it's just that everybody else should be him. There was also, was it the Reds that began piggybacking starters in the minor leagues and having two?
I think the Rockies did that for a bit.
I think the Rockies did too. So my question is one of commitment by the Rays, where it's one thing to tinker a little bit or do something for a lark at the major league level, or like you say, because it all works out. But at what point does drafting and development mean commitments to this kind of versatility that you talk about from a pitching staff?
Well, you know, one thing they're doing, back in the olden days, as you guys know, guys like Sparky Lyle or Raleigh Fingers or Goose Gossage, Dennis Eckersley, a lot of Hall of Fame relievers used to go more than one inning. Now you're classified as a sprinter or you're a distance runner. You're either a starter or you're a one-inning guy. And I'm looking through the Rays minor league system, and they've got multiple multi-inning relievers on each of their high-level staffs, double and triple A. And they're training these guys in that way so that their ability to cover innings out of their bullpen is better. So if, let's say, you know, if you've got three really good starters, and most teams don't have the Astros rotation, well, then your top three starters hopefully will go deeper into games and be going seven more often. But your fourth and fifth starters in today's day and age aren't that good. I think the average fifth starter has a 5.20 ERA. Well, if you're cutting short that start so they don't end up with a 5 ERA, you need relievers who can go 2-3 innings. And I think they are doing that. And I think you're going to see them continue to evolve and basically, again, maximize their staff. If they end up at some point developing five great starters so they have a terrific rotation, so be it. But I think we all know how difficult it is in this game to develop five great starters and keep them healthy over the course of a full season. You really need 7, 8, or 9.
So what of the strikeout, Neil? In an age where we're seeing more and more of them and baseball becoming more and more of a three true outcome game,
Yep. You've
got the commissioner's office worried about the action in the game and the time of the game all at the same time, never mind that those are cross purposes, but why do you think that there's any responsibility to providing an entertaining game from any of the franchises that might be interested in this tactic?
Well, I mean, to me, it's entertaining because it is strategic. It's trying to use your players the best way you can. You know, if you're getting strikeouts in the first inning or the seventh inning, they're still going to come. I think, you know, I don't think the goal by the Rays is to, you know, they're not going to be able to impact the way that goes. They can only impact it with their own hitters. And actually, the way they've started to structure and develop their players is they have gotten fewer guys to strike out, and their strikeouts are actually down over last year. They're one of the few teams in baseball that's done that. Now, they were at the top of baseball or at the top of the American League last year, so it probably isn't that hard to take a step back, but I think they were down first quarter of the season, they were down 100 strikeouts from the year before at the same time of season. So, you know, hopefully that means they're down 400 strikeouts over last year. I think it's incumbent upon each team to find a way to find out what that balance is and how you go about doing it. I mean, the Rays took away some of their home run power, but they also took away some of the strikeouts. And actually, to me, it's a more entertaining game. And I think, you know, hearing more from fans, I mean, look, they want wins first and foremost. But I think there is a group who feels that the product that has been provided as this team has gotten better has been more entertaining to watch because the ball's in play more.
Hey, Neil, this is great. Thanks for the time.
You got it. Anytime, fellas.
That is Neil Solons, the Rays radio pre- and post-game host. Our attention turns to basketball next. The NBA, Nate Duncan of the Dunked on Basketball podcast and the Sports Business Classroom is going to join us to talk about these two playoff series. We got a game last night that really was interesting for about half an hour. And then it just wasn't. And all of these games, I mean, these playoff games all being decided by 10 points or more. I think we have to go back to the Celtics and the Sixers for a game that was under 10 points.
A game that close?
I think so. I believe that's the case. So it's an odd turn, but we got another one tonight, 7:30 tip-off for Boston and Cleveland, and we're going to talk about all of it and maybe the upcoming draft as well with Nate Duncan next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.